Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Deep Talks, episode number 8. From the last episode to the next, we are in the company of Ivan Baryshnikov. As you maybe remember, we were talking about composing original music, and I think you, Moreno, have a question for Ivan about it.
Yeah, but you know, Ivan, I mean, it's amazing like what you're doing also at your music school. Maybe we could talk about it later, because I mean, I find it really interesting. But like regarding composition, how do you, because I can imagine, at least at the beginning, how do you cope with judgment? Because I guess, like for instance, I composed some things, but I'm kind of scared of sharing them, because I know that maybe, or at least I think, that maybe they are not, you know, good enough. And I say, yeah, okay, but I mean, expert musicians would is a kind of a imposter syndrome, you know what I mean? Like say no, I'm not good enough, I could never do something
totally.
But how did you did you have this kind of problem, and if yes, like if so, like how did you cope with it?
That's a very good question, and I think that's also a block that stops a lot of musicians from composing music. Well, I'll try to remember how I did it, but I already have a suggestion of don't be afraid to be a fool for some time. That's the one thing. The other thing is you should enjoy it yourself. And so the quick check is, okay, you wrote a composition. If you are fully satisfied with this composition, then you don't have to please anybody except you, yourself. And I mean, it's kind of... it can be several approaches to that, as I think. First is your own system of kind of judgment. It's like the first thing is, do I like it or not? Right? This is one thing. The other thing is, why would you care what others think about it? And let's put it this way. You can only care about what other people say if they pay you for that. All right?
So that's a nice one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like to make it just clear for yourself. It's like, are they paying you for making them satisfied, or like creating a composition that they like it? It's like when somebody asks you and gives you an assignment, okay, I need this composition for a singer, and she's performing in the theater, and I need this composition, and we pay you this money. And then you write a composition, you carefully listen to what they want to say, you write a composition, then they send you some feedback, you do some edits, and then it's considered a job, right? But when we are talking about artistic things, just don't care about what others think. The only judge is you yourself, and that's it, period. Yeah. And I think it can be hard. And I personally, well, I think Michael Moore, one of the teachers, helped me with that. And he was like, well, just write it, and just there's no mark for this, you know. Nobody will give you a mark for your composition. Just write it. And another thing from Steve Altenberg, he gave me a really nice exercise. An exercise was you write one composition every day, and it has to be... Ooh. Finished.
Wow.
And so, you know, the only requirement is it has to be finished. And only you decide what is finished, what is a finished composition. It can be two notes, You know, you go from 5 to 1, you know, just 2 notes.
Yeah.
It can be several bars. Mm. It can be a simple form. But the only requirement is it has to be finished. So unless your composition is finished, then it's not finished. But when it is finished and only you decide and only you know when it is finished, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to be a right one. But also, sometimes it can keep you off doing things because you can say, well, I never can finish a composition. Well, you just one thing to do is you have one day, or you give yourself 1 hour to write a melody, and that's it. And if you are if you don't have a melody, try another day, and just put this music in the drawer or just throw it away. Better put it in a drawer or a sketchbook, of course. You can always come back and search for inspiration and ideas. But I've spent a lot of time understanding what is composition and how to properly compose music and what is finished composition and stuff like that. Why? Because composing is a part of finding your own musical voice. I think it's the only way to find your music voice. It can be hard when you have to finish and when you feel that it is not finished. But also there is a thing that music is not perfect. So any music is not a perfect thing.
Yeah,
and for example, a billion people thinks that one piece of music is great. There is a lot of other people that don't see it as a finished and great thing. So, as Steve Jobs, I think, said once, you can please some of the people some of the time.
Yeah.
So it's like you can never make everybody happy all the time. It's impossible. I remember one business advice is like, if you wanna make people happy, you can go and sell ice cream. And still, I think there are people that won't be happy about that.
Of course.
So,
but this is enlightening for me, I'm really enjoying this, and I have a question for the both of you actually.
Go ahead.
Which is the when does composition finish, and when does arranging begin? Like, when do you say, okay, the composition is done, now I will arrange it? Okay. Where's that part?
I give a go to Giovanni. You first.
Okay, thanks, Ivan. All right. Okay. In my case, you know, when I write my own music, usually the arrangement comes with a melody and the chord progression. And Moreno, you know my music because we play together. I think I've never wrote the melody for first and then the arrangement later on. But you know, the starting point for me is usually just a short idea, like a rhythmic phrase or a bass groove or a short melodic phrase. That is the core of my composition. And sometimes it takes time to develop an idea and to transform it into a complete composition. So at least for me, arranging and composing are on the same floor, because when I write my own music, I try to imagine in my head the sound of the band. But now, what about you, Ivan? I'm really, really curious.
I like your approach. I think there is lots of misunderstanding in these two terms, like what is composition and what is arranging.
arranging. Yeah.
And I think that, yes, and I think that composition is how you put music together.
Yes.
Basically, how you arrange your sounds in the timeline, you know, in how do you put it in the time. And so I think that arranging and composing, when people divide these two terms, this is more when we are talking about a very narrow professional field. Let's say you have a film scoring, right? And let's say a composer came up with a tune, and then for a film they decided to include a symphonic orchestra, and then you hire an arranger to make arrangements for this orchestra, right? Or you have a singer and he or she has a song and they recorded it with a band. But then when it comes to an album recording, they decide to include strings, like string quartet. And they can hire an arranger to arrange some pieces for string quartet, you know? And I think that when we are talking about composing for a specific band, like you said, that you have your band sounding in your head.
Yeah.
When you start composing. And I think that is both composing and arranging at the same time for a specific band. All right. And my approach, I can now share about my approach. Basically, my starting point is a jazz quartet that has saxophone, harmonic instruments, not necessarily guitar or piano, but just harmonic instruments, bass and drums. And this is, and I'm writing music basically for a quartet that I can later transform into a duo music or septet or other types of settings. And so for me as well, composing and arranging, it's sort of the same thing. And I never had assignments to write for a big band for money, for example, right, as a job, or for string quartet or something like that. But if I take a composition plus arrangements of existing tune, and then I convert it so that other instruments can play it, that I can call arranging, right? Also, there is a musician, Misha Tsiganov, and he's a piano player. He lives in New York City. He moved there around, I think, 30 years ago, I believe. And so I took composing classes with him. And he told me that basically when you come up with a motif or a melody, that's composition. And the rest is arranging.
Arranging. That's a nice...
So that's kind of a, you know, like a simple thing. I think it's more about how you use term composing and term arranging.
Arrange.
How you use this word. And I think, yeah, and I think in different environments, you use these words differently, you know. But basically, in a like whole sense, in a general sense, composing is also arranging, you know.
Yeah. Moreno, it's the same thing.
Wow.
This is the answer.
I mean, No, but I mean, it's interesting. And I mean, Ivan mentioned two of the people that really turned my world upside down when I was in Groningen. That they are Steve Altenberg and Michael Moore. Yeah. Steve Altenberg was for 6 months also my drum teacher.
Mm-hmm.
and I learned a lot of from him, but not really, not only from drums, and that's the thing of Steve. Like, he's an all-round musician, and I mean, you can talk about, we spent a lot of lessons simply talking, but literally talking about music or about the approach to music, approach to drums, approach to practice. And Michael Moore, I followed two of his courses of composition. And I mean, in Russia, I mean, you say like you learn the skills and you get skilled. I mean, it's kind of the same in Italy. Like we are, like everything has to be by the book, you know, like by the rule. So like, okay, you would like to compose. Okay, here is the 1,000 pages book about composition. Study this and then maybe we can talk about it.
Exactly.
It's a kind of... So I came from that environment and I stepped in, I walked in the class of Michael Moore and he said, okay, guys, let's pick a poem that you like. I have here kind of a haiku of or like short poems. Okay, now you make music with this. I said, huh? Sorry,
what?
maybe I don't get it. I'm missing something. I don't know. Yeah, I said, yeah, of course. I mean, you have everything you need. I said, what do you mean? I mean, I see words. I see a poem. Yeah, it's a nice poem. But I mean, I said, okay, yeah, okay. Let's break it down. I mean, you have words. Then that means that you have rhythm. If you have rhythm and if you speak the words, you also have a kind of melody. So you kind of have an idea of how eventually the melody could go up or down, for instance. So yeah, that's everything you need to know. Go ahead. I said, what? I mean, all the rules, you know, like the chord progressions. No. That's for later. It's not for now. Like, just start. That's the thing. I mean, it was really mind-blowing for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, coming from such an environment and then, like, meaning, but also, like, just, you know, like, being in the same class with him. Like, watching him, like, also, yeah, giving tips to others. Or simply looking at how like, what music was for him, is for him. I mean, it was really, a game changer for me, really.
But Moreno, now I have a question for you, because you started writing music, I think, with the Bravo Baboon, right? Am I right or wrong?
No, not really. Because with Bravo Baboon, we changed also the way of of composing. What? Yeah. Because with the first album, it was more like a kind of garage band, you know, like spending a lot of hours in a studio, like playing and getting out ideas and then working those ideas out. But then, you know, like as time goes by, you get older, like you have less time.
Enough time.
Yeah, you know, like we all know. And of course, also that the skills of the people also are just different. So yeah. I mean, if earlier you came with a riff, now you come with kind of a lead sheet. You know, it's okay. Guys, this is more or less the tune. So I would say we worked more on the arrangement of the already existing melodies and chord progressions.
But I think it's exciting, you know, working together, because it's like your brain is working in another way. I mean, when you are alone, it's just you. When you are alone, it's just you, and the dialogue happens between you and yourself, you and your story. When you compose with other people, there are at least two different stories. So, Ivan, what do you think about it?
That's a good idea of working together with somebody to build a composition. And I now think that what you said is like when you do it by yourself, sometimes maybe you don't have this inspiration, and because you kind of you don't have a new data coming in, you know. It's like sometimes you need to go out to read a book and be inspired by something, by some events or by some people, and that's how you are inspired to do things. So I think that's why a lot of musicians, a lot of mature musicians and teachers, they say, okay, don't be stuck in your practice room, in your recording and practicing and composing sessions. Get inspiration from life, you know. And I think that composing with another person is a totally not different, but it's another level of inspiring each other in the real time.
Yeah,
it's sort of like when you have highly skilled and highly artistic jazz musicians playing together. When they inspire each other in real time, you know. And I think the composing process, well, I have a duo, a Reverie Acoustic Duet, together with Tim van der Velden. He's a guitar player. And basically, I cannot say that we did something together, but we definitely tried. And I think just the pandemic thing just couldn't let us to meet together very often, but we try to do this when you sit down together and try to figure out the workflow, the frame, the music form, tonality, how melody goes, limitations and possibilities of the instruments. You know, he plays guitar, I play saxophone, I have one range, he has another, it should sound together well.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, at the beginning, it's super hard, because you kind of have to suggest something, but also, you cannot interfere, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's totally worth it to try this kind of approach of composing, like, sit down with somebody, and try it out. It's definitely worth a try. And also, you kind of judge each other in real time, you know, and you can be satisfied only if both of you are satisfied with the composition. So it's like kind of, okay, it's like judgment in real time. You have a feedback right away. And the person can tell you, oh yeah, this is a nice idea, or maybe, and you're very careful when you say maybe if you don't like idea. So you also have to be really honest with yourself and also honest with another person. For example, when you say like, hey, I don't like the idea, maybe we shall try another way, or this works for me, or maybe this one doesn't work for me. You know, when you have different instruments, you also have different keys. What is something that is relatively easy to play for one instrument, it can be hard to play on another instrument. So it's like, yeah, it's a not only composing experience, but it's also learning about yourself and others experience, I think.
It's about the relation.
Yeah, totally worth it. Yeah. Oh,
but you mentioned the pandemic, of course, and it's, I mean, everyone got hit by that. But, I mean, I follow you on the social media, like, and I see that you do a lot of things. Like, or at least you did a lot of things. For instance, I can mention the 1 minute lesson.
Oh, yeah.
I can mention the balcony sessions that I also found really cool. How, I mean, because, you know, like the how can I say this correctly in English? I cannot find the right word, but like the level of the vocabulary of the for instance of the 1 minute lessons is really high. I mean, you really took phrases or motives or improvisations of other musicians, you analyzed it, and then gave a kind of, I mean, you can say it better than me, but my point is, where did you find the motivation to do all of this stuff? In a moment where maybe, I mean, we as musicians, we just saw our world like a collapse. Where did you find the motivation? Where do you find the motivation?
Now you are getting me deep.
Easy question.
You knew.
Ah, yeah, it's another easy question from Morena. Yeah. Yes, now I know what he means. Well, first of all, thanks for noticing all this stuff that I did. I appreciate it. Yes, I was going to say something about how I communicate what I do on social media and stuff, but I think it's a bit another thing. Talking about motivation, well, there wasn't a lot of things to do that I could do at the moment. And actually, the motivation was maybe not what you think. It was a motivation to keep my skills together. So by doing these 1 minute lessons, I was kind of, I was trying to keep myself, keep my skills up to date, you know, because it was a really hard time and no concerts, and you could, I mean, I could easily just put my instrument, you know, under the desk and just don't take it out. And so my motivation was, by doing these lessons, I at least practice. And for Giovanni and for everybody who is listening, well, 1 minute lesson is basically, why 1 minute is because, well, Instagram, I was doing these lessons on Instagram, and Instagram can handle 1 minute videos. Yes, and well, my lessons were actually shorter, like 20 seconds or maybe 30 seconds. What I did is, wow, I took melodic phrases from solos of my favorite musicians, or just solos that I like. And it's like, it can be an idea of one bar or maybe two bars. And then I transcribed it. I wrote it down on paper. I analyzed it. It's like, okay, we have movement of 1, 3, 5, 7. And then it goes somewhere and resolves to third and stuff like that. So like, let's say basic 2, 5, 1 phrases, something like that. And I explained in text what goes and where. And I also played it, and I played it once in a kind of original tempo, and the second time slower. And that's basically it. And then my post is a video, a short video, and then you slide to the next picture, kind of, and you have this piece of music analyzed. And so by doing this, I was basically practicing. Sometimes it took me 15 minutes to do this. Sometimes it took me an hour and a half. But at least if I practiced 15 minutes, that was kind of, yeah, not enough, of course, but it was something at least, you know. Because the mood these days was, well, I don't know, it was, it was
we
terrible.
We all remember, yeah.
No, of course, of course. So, yeah, motivation, I don't know. Sometimes, well, it's hard to say. Motivation is a huge thing, is a huge topic. And I think sometimes you force yourself to be motivated. Sometimes you are excited, and you don't have to search for motivation. But again, it's like, I think we've talked about it in the beginning. It's being entrepreneurial. It's about to take action and just see, you know, where it leads. And it was also a way to attract some people that wanted to study with me during the pandemic. But it wasn't like super successful because everybody was so stressed. You know, there was certainly, I mean, people were trying to figure out how to eat, you know, and they were certainly not, not all of them were interested in jazz lessons, you know.
yeah, that's sadly true. Okay, guys, I think we can stop here for now and continue with this very interesting topic in the next episode of Deep Talks, still with Ivan Baryshnikov.